It's wildfire season in California, and over the past 2 years, one company has caused two of the state's most devastating fires, the North Bay Fire in 2017 and the Camp Fire in Paradise in 2018. And that company is PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric. And while the fallout of these fires and efforts to prevent more are growing, PG&E is still Northern California's main utility. Marisa Lagos is the political correspondent for KQED in San Francisco and co-host of the podcast Political Breakdown. Marisa, always great to talk to you.
Always a pleasure being here, Tanzina.
So California is in fire season right now. How is it going and how does it compare to previous years?
Well, I think it's actually pretty on par with what we've seen the last couple of years because we've had really late fire seasons. If you'll remember, the Camp Fire, that devastating Paradise Fire last year, wasn't until after Election Day, actually, in November. The ones in 2017 up in the North Bay in the Bay Area were in October. And so I think that firefighters and folks in rural communities especially are bracing for a later season. But I think the question is going to be once we get into fall, really, what's the weather like? And, you know, are we prepared? Have we done enough in the last year to take some of the threats away from some of those rural areas?
You mentioned some of the big fires like the Camp Fire, and those were pretty devastating. And in response to that, the state legislature has approved Governor Gavin Newsom's $21 billion fund to support the utilities and victims after wildfires. What does this fund do exactly? Because that's $21 billion is nothing to sneeze at.
It's not. Although if you look at some of the estimates of damage from the last 2 years, it's also not enough to cover all of that. To back up a little, the whole point of this fund in a lot of ways was to give these utility companies who have sparked a lot of these fires, namely PG&E, and Wall Street, which, you know, invest in these big utilities, a measure of sort of solace going into what could be a bad fire season, that if another Camp Fire breaks out, heaven forbid, that there will be some sort of infrastructure there to deal with the outcome. Because what we saw this year was PG&E, the biggest utility in California, actually file for bankruptcy after that fire. And so this is basically a fund that half of it would come from ratepayers through a bond that the state's going to issue. The other half would come from the big investor-owned utilities. And it would be a way, a backstop, essentially, so that if a big fire broke out and a utility was not negligent but did cause it, they would be able to tap this fund. And they would be able to take out actually insurance against the fund. So it could be much larger than $21 billion. The utilities have to buy into this. They have to agree. PG&E would have to exit bankruptcy by next June. And again, this is really sort of a way for the state to give Wall Street, which has been very nervous, a little bit of clarity on what the process is going to be. But it also has a bunch of strings attached around safety improvements and oversight by the state. And so I think what the governor's office would say is that this is kind of striking this middle ground. We're going to help the utilities, but we're going to expect more from them in terms of preventing fires and creating a system where we don't see this happening every year.
PG&E, Marie says, you know, were found to have caused several of the most devastating fires over the past few years in California, at least in Northern California. Why are they still in this position as the utility? I mean, are they irreplaceable after the bankruptcy declaration and the potential, the infrastructure failures and on and on?
I think it's kind of akin to the Wall Street meltdown, which is that in some ways they're too big to fail. And not just from a financial perspective, but they own the infrastructure that a third of this state really relies on to keep the lights on. And trying to figure out a way to take that away from them would be enormously expensive and complicated, right? Because you wouldn't just be worried about running the electricity. You would have to worry about the infrastructure. That's been at the heart of the problems with these fires, is that their lines and transmission towers have not been invested in over the years as much as they should have been, and, you know, in some cases have failed and sparked large fires. Now, in PG&E's defense, you also have a utility that's been forced to really connect their lines to areas of the state that they might have not have wanted to, right? We've had local governments in these wild urban interface areas that are very prone to wildfire approve development plans that if PG&E had had its druthers, they may have said, this is not safe. So I think that they're, you know, in that regard, there is some defense of them, but broadly, you you know, this is a company that has not been a good corporate citizen. We saw 10 years ago, a gas line they owned exploded in San Bruno, killing 8 people. They ended up going to court over that with a federal case, and they're a felon now. They're on probation. And so I think a lot of people are asking that question, Tanzina, but the bottom line is, like, it's not something that anybody has come up with a, I think, cohesive plan to kind of take over. And I think that philosophically, you know, there's questions. There are a lot of people who don't want the government to take over a utility that, you know, that think that the private sector would do better. You know, we've seen some municipalities like San Francisco think about maybe buying PG&E's infrastructure, but we haven't seen a sort of statewide proposal to take over or really change what's been in effect, you know, in some ways for 150 years.
Well, to that end, PG&E is also wanting to raise the rates that it charges consumers to help cover some of these costs. Has there been any response from consumers about that?
Yeah, they're not pleased. And I think that this is also gets to some of the regulatory structure that has been problematic in California. You know, you have the California Public Utilities Commission, which is responsible for approving any rate hikes. They're taking a look at PG&E's proposal. They've actually not only said we want to raise rates, but they also want to raise their return on investment. So as these sort of quasi-public private utilities, they get a guaranteed return on investment for infrastructure work. And that's around 10.5% right now. It's among the highest rates in the nation if you look at utilities. They're saying they need to raise that to around 16% so that they can actually get more money out of their infrastructure investments and help prop them up when they exit bankruptcy. I think we're going to see some big fights at the Public Utilities Commission over both the rate increase proposals and that return on investment. And, you know, the thing that is sort of interesting here is you have this other player in the bankruptcy court. That judge has to approve anything that PG&E really puts forward until they exit bankruptcy. And so I think that that'll be interesting to watch the tension between state regulators and that court, which obviously their concern is following bankruptcy law. But Judge Montali, who oversees this case and oversaw their previous bankruptcy almost 20 years ago, he knows, you know, that this is being watched not just in California, but nationally. And I think he's being very careful in how he approaches these things.
Marisa Lagos is the political correspondent for KQED and the co-host of the podcast Political Breakdown. Marisa, thanks so much.
My pleasure.